Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Little Bob here. It's America's 250th birthday, so shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. We've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving and those signature Bob-a-pedic seats. So stop into Bob's Discount Furniture or shop online at mybobs.com, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Welcome on into the Phillies Today podcast. I'm your host, Dan Wilson, coming to you. We are at the All-Star break. The Philadelphia Phillies have reached the All-Star break. All of Major League Baseball has reached the All-Star break, coming to you just a day after, or just 2 days after, All-Star game, you know, coming up tonight following the Home Run Derby, as we sit here at the unofficial midway point of the season. Of course, we're a little bit past the midway point of the season, but this is where we kind of address the first half and what's gone on thus far. And so far, Phillies 48-41. You feel pretty good about where the Phillies are. They stand on the outside looking in, barely, just by a half game of a playoff spot. And overall, pretty up and down, rocky first half for the Phillies. They started off incredibly cold, and really for the first 2 months wasn't great. They got hot in the month of June and kind of tailed off, and they won 13 road games in a row, and then kind of didn't really play so great the final two games heading to the All-Star break. But the sum of all parts is 48-41. And I think that's pretty impressive considering Zach Wheeler hasn't pitched as well as you would like him to. Aaron Nola has already allowed 21 home runs this season after allowing just 19 all of last year. Ranger Suarez was injured to begin the season. Taijuan Walker started the season incredibly slow. Bryce Harper started the season on the injured list and then came back and still only hit 3 home runs. And Trey Turner hasn't been nearly as good as advertised. The players you expected to be your best players have not been nearly as good as you would hope or as you would expect or really as this team needs them to be if they expect to make another deep run into the postseason. The Phillies sitting at 48-41, it feels like, unfortunately, if Bryce Harper was half as good as he was a season ago, if Trey Turner was half as good as advertised, or Aaron Nola could even just replicate his success or his production, rather, from last season, the Phillies would be sitting in a playoff spot right now. Not, you know, maybe 10 games above 500. And it's no reason for panic. The Phillies were 49-43 at the All-Star break last season. 6 games above 500. The Phillies stand 7 games above 500 in this particular case. And they might, if they win one and lose the first two against the San Diego Padres, they could find themselves at 49-43 once again. But this is kind of where we're at with the Phillies, is that as you look back on the season, and there was a lot of good, a lot of bad, I've decided to take a positive look, just removed here, from the All-Star break. On the day of the Major League Baseball All-Star game, I've decided to kind of take a positive approach. So what I have here today is the top 5 wins thus far of the season. Again, there's been a lot of good, a lot of bad, but there really have been some pretty solid memories thus far in, you know, the 2023 Phillies season. I do believe they're going to be a playoff team once again, so you know, I've decided to rank the top 5 wins of the year. So it's coming in at number 5. It was Thursday, June 8th against the Detroit Tigers. Some may remember, I believe it was the series finale. Phillies playing the Tigers at home, and the Phillies, they were tied in a 1-1 game. And the Tigers actually tied the game in the top half of the 9th to make the game 2-1. And looked like the Phillies were not going to win that game. You remember that series got bumped back one day because of the air quality issues, and the Tigers were supposed to have off on Thursday. Instead, they had off on Wednesday. But instead, the game gets bumped back to Thursday. Harper leads off the 9th inning with a double. Marsh scores on a sack fly. Cody Clemens steps up to the dish with Trey Turner, who reached base on a walk with a chance to win it. and he hits a walk-off double. And that was an incredible moment for Cody Clemens. And he's not on the roster currently. Cody Clemens is not the solution at everyday first base. And, you know, I do understand that they got Derek Hall back, and that's a good thing. But that was a pretty cool moment for him. And it kind of sparked Roger Clemens throwing out batting practice the following day, and it was definitely the highlight of Cody Clemens' career. And for a guy who, at a spring training, was maybe the last bench spot, just kind of filling a role of Derek Hall, of Rhys Hoskins. Like, Derek Hall was going to be the starting first baseman, and then, you know, Rhys Hoskins got hurt in spring training, so it looked like maybe Clemens would get himself a spot. The second Derek Hall went down, Cody Clemens went from a Triple-A player to playing closer to every day than you would ideally like. Obviously, a lot of that time was filled with Alec Bohm playing first base and Edmundo Sosa playing third base. But that was a really cool moment for Rocket Jr., I'll call him. And that was a really, really cool moment for the Phillies. A really good win. Again, weird circumstances led to that game being played on a Thursday. But Cody Clemens got the job done, and the Phillies got the job done. A resilient win against a bad Tigers team. It would have been annoying to lose any one game to that team. It was a weird interleague series. We've seen that in Major League Baseball so far this season with the schedule. The fact that the Phillies now, we see them play games against the Tigers, against the White Sox, against all the teams in the American League, that's where we're sitting right now. And so it is pretty, pretty cool that they were able to get through that Tigers series with three wins. Number four, you'll go to the very next night, Friday, June 9th, against the Los Angeles Dodgers. And Matt Strom blew a three-run lead. The Phillies were up 4-1, and the Dodgers, not usually a team that you can give second chances to, not usually a team that you can let hang around like that. So Kyle Schwarber comes up to the dish. Again, Matt Strom blew a three-run lead, but Schwarber bottom of the 10th inning, I believe it was, and he hits a walk-off home run. And it was back-to-back walk-offs. That it created a streak, or extended a streak, of six wins in a row. And the Phillies were connecting on all cylinders at that point. This was the beginning of June. It was June Schwarber. That was maybe the high point of the Phillies season, to be honest. That first week and a half of June, it didn't look like the Phillies could do any wrong. And they were finding ways to win games. One night it's where you go down in the ninth inning to a bad team. The next night you're playing a very good team, and you blow a lead, and traditional baseball mindset would tell you, oh, they've lost all the momentum. Oh, they blew their chance to win this one. But Kyle Schwarber, say what you will about him, I understand he's not hitting 200. His on base is above 300, and the argument is, should he be the leadoff hitter? Should he not be the leadoff hitter? The guy's hit for production. He's got more than close to twice the amount of home runs of any other guy on the team. Really the only guy who's hitting for any power thus far in the Phillies' first half. He's hit for 22 home runs. Next highest guy, I believe, is 13. It's just been really, really cool to watch a unique player, I'll say, in Kyle Schwarber. And a really, really cool moment there for Kyle Schwarber, for the Phillies, getting back-to-back walk-off wins. Always cool when there's a walk-off home run. I believe that's the only walk-off home run the Phillies have had so far this season. Again, they've had a couple of walk-offs. That Cody Clemens walk-off was a double. There's a pretty cool, I won't spoil it, a couple other pretty cool walk-off or go-ahead hits in the ninth inning. But as far as walk-off home runs are concerned so far this season, Kyle Schwarber is it. So he has that really, really cool moment, and that comes in at number four. At number three, we're going to turn to Bryson Stott. Saturday, April 8th against the Cincinnati Reds, was the first home game of the season, or the second home game, first home series, I should say, for the Phillies of the entire season. They're playing against the Reds, Nick Castellanos' old team, and the Phillies hadn't scored all game. Like, eight innings, nothing was going with that offense. And they were down two runs, 2-0 in the bottom of the ninth inning. Alexis Diaz, who was an all-star for the Cincinnati Reds and, you know, is a pretty well-known closer in baseball, comes in, and Nick Castellanos gets himself to third base, and he's dancing down the line, and he's getting into it with Alexis Diaz, and really appeared to get in his head. And then ultimately it was Bryson Stott who capped it off with the walk-off base hit. It was kind of a wild game, three-run ninth inning for the Phils. If I remember correctly, there's a bit of a rain delay, or at least there had been rain in the forecast, or it rained a little bit that day. It was the first game the Phillies had the cream uniforms this season, which I think might be my personal favorite jersey. Something different about day games, something different about Saturday afternoon games, Sunday day games. And the Phillies came out and won that game. And it was a game that didn't feel like they had any business winning. We didn't have a large sample size of what the 2023 Phillies looked like at that point. And remember, the Phillies started out horribly against in the first road trip of the season, going 1-5. They got swept by the Rangers, won 1 in New York. And so the hope was that the Phillies would come home and kind of get things into gear there. They absolutely did. And kudos to Bryson Stott, kind of working a good at bat as he always does. Gets the walk-off single, and the Phillies won that game 3-2. So that comes in at number 3 on the list for coolest wins, most fun wins, I will say, of the Phillies season thus far. At number 2, it happened just a couple of nights ago. It's the most recent Phillies win that we've all seen. Phillies down in Miami. The Phillies road winning streak was on the line. Now, they've had a number of win streaks or peaks to their season thus far, but perhaps none more impressive than winning 13 consecutive road games. And that ties a franchise record. Like, only one time in Phillies history before have they won 13 consecutive road games, spanning over like 4 or 5 different series. So it was Friday, July 7th in Miami. The Phillies trailed by 3 going to the 9th. Realmuto led off the inning with a single. A Bohm double drove him in. And then down to their last hope, Rob Thomson, instead of keeping Brandon Marsh in the game against the lefty A.J. Puck, he goes to a righty in Christian Pache. And Christian Pache, again, guy who was not much of a hitter at all. The Phillies acquired this guy in a trade before the season. Seemed like a bit of a throw-in. He used to be with the Braves, the A's, and defensive replacement and a runner replacement, like good pinch runner defense type of guy, but never good with the bat. Like, he has at least when he got to the Phillies, very little offensive ability. And kudos to Kevin Long. Kudos to this Phillies hitting program that I guess they have going these days for getting him right and making him a capable hitter. And so he steps up to the plate. You know, you think about other guys such as Marsh, who were not good hitters when they first got here. Center field used to really, really be a huge problem for the Phils. And Christian Pache, he steps up to the plate. Phillies down to their final out. And they were down 3-2 in the game. And Christian Pache, down 5-4 in the game. And Christian Pache rips one to center field. Home run, gives them the lead. They were down 4-3, gave them the lead 5-4. Can't get the score right here. Won the game 5-4. Craig Kimbrell comes in for the bottom of the 9th. He closes it out. And what a miraculous win that was for the Phils. Like, it looked like the winning streak was really, really going to come to an end. Sadly, the Phillies kind of checked out mentally after that during the rest of the series. But for that one moment in time, Christian Pache, I mean, he had his moment. Comeback home run in the 9th inning on Friday night. So that is number 2. And, of course, number 1. And where else could I go with this? The number 1 most fun Phillies win so far this season. It was not a walk-off home run. It was not a walk-off double. It was not a go-ahead home run in the 9th inning. And it wasn't any of the things I just listed. Number 1, we're going to go Sunday, June 25th, against the New York Mets. A 4-run 8th inning. 4-run 8th inning against the Mets. They were trailing 6-3 in the game. They won by a score of 7-6. There were more hit-by-pitches in the 8th inning. The Phillies have been trailing the whole game, and they would get one back, and then the Mets would score one. They'd get two back, Mets score two, that kind of thing. And they couldn't really get to the Mets the entire game. And Buck Showalter electing not to go to his best relievers in this game. Buck Showalter very much played that game conservatively, and really, he's still the manager of the New York Mets, but really where the idea of Buck Showalter getting canned in New York spiked kind of came from this game. There was a viral Frank the Tank video after that of him freaking out about the Mets losing. The Phillies, if I recall correctly, the ball left the infield twice in that inning. I think it was a Realmuto single and a flyout by Bryce Harper to end the inning. You had two hit by pitches, an error, a walk, an error on a fielder's choice. But the sum of all parts was the Phillies score 4 runs in the 8th inning And we just all got to laugh at the New York Mets. And that is a beautiful thing. The Phillies take down the Mets 7-6. It was an improbable win. It wasn't a win to, you know, feel great about necessarily. The Phillies did not play well in that series. They should have lost that series to the Mets. They ended up winning 2 of 3 as a result of that Sunday collapse. It was a game I was personally at, and that was really, really cool to see. So that kind of completes my list of the top 5 Phillies wins. Again, Thursday, June 8th against the Tigers, Cody Clemens walk-off double. Friday, June 9th against the Los Angeles Dodgers, Kyle Schwarber hits a walk-off home run right after the Phillies blew a 3-run lead. On number 3, Saturday, April 8th against the Cincinnati Reds, Bryson Stott hits a walk-off base hit. They were down 2-0 and hadn't scored a run all game. Looked like the offense was going to be dreadful and not show up. Bryson Stott caps off a 3-run 9th inning. That was big for kind of just the team morale at that point in the early homestand of the season. Number 2, the Christian Pache home run in Miami last Friday. That's the most recent win that the Phillies have had. Down to their final out, and Pache homers. Rob Thompson electing to pinch hit for Brandon Marsh certainly worked out for him. And the number 1 Phillies win so far this year, or again, most fun Phillies win, Sunday, June 25th against the New York Mets. A 4-run 8th inning on just one hit causes a Mets implosion. Buck Showalter gets tossed. Gary Cohen, the Mets broadcaster, freaked out. And what a fun win that was. That's the top 5 wins of the Phillies season thus far. Again, 48-41 on the year. They stand just outside of a wild card spot. Wasn't great that they lost 2 of 3 to the Marlins. And they have a really backloaded home schedule in the second half of the season. So in terms of things that are most important to happen in the second half of the year, the trade deadline's obviously just a couple of weeks away. And there's a number of things that the Phillies certainly need. The bullpen has been really, really good. Feels like oftentimes this time of year, we're looking, can they add a reliever? And certainly it's always welcome when it happens. And it would be nice if Dave Dombrowski did add another reliever who Rob Thompson was able to trust just as kind of injury insurance. And especially when you get into a playoff series, you can never have too much pitching. But I think really the high priority is, A, figure out, is Bryce Harper good to play first base moving forward? Is this injury going to keep him as the DH the rest of the season, or is he able to play first base? Is he comfortable playing first base at a major league level? Because that really causes a number of things to move. Alec Bohm now becomes your everyday third baseman. You have now Kyle Schwarber getting out of left field because he can be the designated hitter, which I think is really the most glaring defensive liability by far that this Phillies team has. And then maybe you trade for a bat. Maybe you go get a right-handed bat who can play the outfield and try and piece some of the holes of this team together. Because just as of right now, I do not feel comfortable. I don't think anyone feels comfortable with Kyle Schwarber playing left field every day for the next 3 months, or every day for the next 2.5 months and into the postseason. So in terms of equipping themselves in a position to be good enough to go try and go back to the World Series, again, this is right about where they were a season ago. The Phillies were the 6th seed and climbed their way to the World Series. I think the National League East, it's amazing that the division is like wrapped up here at the All-Star break, but feels like it's been wrapped up since Memorial Day. The Braves are just that good. It doesn't feel like they ever lose games. That offense ever takes a night off. Certainly, I wouldn't count the Phillies out. I'm not saying that means anything in a playoff scenario. We know last year the Phillies beat them in 5. And that's a lot different than being better over 162 game span. But where the Phillies stand right now, their best shot's going to be a wild card. Their best shot, hopefully the Marlins fall off here in the second half of the season. Otherwise, they're going to be hosting a playoff series, and the Phillies could very likely find themselves, as they did a season ago, maybe if they slide into that 6th seed, traveling to the winner of the NL Central. Last year, they went to the St. Louis Cardinals. Right now, that would be the Cincinnati Reds. But if they find themselves in that 5 seed, then you're playing a 3-game series in Miami, which has not been the kindest stadium. Lone Depot Park has not been the kindest stadium to the Phillies over the years. So the trade deadline is certainly the next priority. Can Bryce Harper play first base? It doesn't seem like he's going to play the outfield at all this season. That seems like an opening day 2024 type of deal. But if he can play first base in the short term, and Bryce is a competitor, and you know he you know, he's a fan of Kyle Schwarber, but he also knows that his defense is a liability, and Kyle Schwarber's probably sick of hearing about how bad his defense is and would like to just focus on hitting and hitting for power on this team because he's really the only guy who does it. That's kind of the first focus on this team. As far as what more needs to be gotten out of players, Aaron Nola cannot continue to allow 20 home runs for every half a season. I mean, if he allows 40 home runs this year and finishes with a 4 or 5 ERA, and his biggest accomplishment is that he goes five or mostly six innings every night. Yeah, there's pitcher durability is a big thing, and teams, there's such a premium on it that he'll probably get a contract somewhere, but I'm not looking for the Phillies to sign him to some massive $100 million contract if that's what he gives the Phillies this season. I mean, he's really slotted in as their three, and not to give Pete McCann any credit, but he once said Aaron Nola was a three and Phillies fans trolled him for a couple of years. Well, unfortunately, he's kind of fallen back into that. And say what you will about maybe it's the amount of innings he pitched last year or just how overworked he's been or the pitch clock or whatever, and eventually that's got to wear off. And hopefully this All-Star break, he's probably the number one guy that I hope this All-Star break benefits. Him, even more so than Bryce Harper, even more so than Trey Turner, and those are players certainly who the Phillies need to be getting more out of, and their offense needs to step up more, and Kyle Schwarber can't be the only guy hitting home runs. But if Aaron Nola could just have a half-decent second half, the second half that he had a season ago, this team will likely go back to the postseason, and I would feel better about Aaron Nola pitching in potential clinching games, pitching in games into October, because that's really what the Phillies need him to be. Ranger Suarez pitched nicely this season. He's a very good number two. Wheeler's been disappointing, but you still, when push comes to shove in a big-time game, you feel confident about him. So that's kind of just where I stand. Those are the things that, and I'm not the first ones to say this. I won't be the last one to say it. But I think the number one thing, the number one priority on Dave Dombrowski's plate, and he probably has a better idea than any of us do whether Harper can play first or not, is trying to get Kyle Schwarber out of left field in any way you can. Because, I mean, if Harper's stuck at DH, you don't really have any other way to do it. But if they could get another bat on this team and another arm, because if one of the starting rotation guys goes down in the second half of the season, you're back to bullpen games, and that can't really happen either. So I think bats number one, right-handed bats number one, preferably you can play the outfield. Starter is number two, and I can't even believe we're saying it. It feels weird to actually have a bullpen, the Phillies bullpen that I trust, but that is where I stand with them as of right now. So that's going to do it for today's episode of the Phillies Today podcast. Enjoy the All-Star game tonight, everyone. Enjoy all the All-Star week festivities. Again, weird week to do this podcast and be a baseball fan with no Phillies games going on. But we only have 1 week a year in the season like this, so it is pretty cool. Nick Castellanos, Craig Kimbrell will be going for the National League tonight. Rob Thompson, of course, managing. That'll be a fun watch. I'll be back with you tomorrow right here on the Phillies Today, right here.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!